steady paycheck.
Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
There's as though something has happened in the motor state group.
Oswald is shot.
This is the special conflict.
A series of tubes.
You went to take it.
Focused, non-terminal repeating phantasms.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh, shit. Those are aliens.
I am a human.
You're the old one. It's really weird.
The degenerates.
Welcome to Podcast Foil Fina, guys.
I've got colitis, and I just can't hide it.
Oh my god.
That was funnier in my head like a half hour
it
ago.
It was pretty funny.
It wasn't
laugh out loud.
It was fine.
Do you remember when Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart had that debate, like, a couple elections back, and, like, Jon Stewart, you know, because, like, fucking Bill O'Reilly was bitching about universal health care or something like that, or companies providing their employees with health care.
Man, fuck Bill O'Reilly.
And Jon Stewart was, like, no, it was, like, he was bitching about people being on disability, and Jon Stewart's just like, really? Really? And he's like, what? And he's like, really, Bill? And he's like, are you talking about my father? And Jon Stewart's like, mm-hmm. And Bill O'Reilly just, this is his answer to his father being on disability. He just goes, he had colitis.
He can't poop right. My dad is on disability. He can't poop right.
Instead of just saying, hey, fuck you, asshole. My dad was disabled. He had colitis. And it's just like, oh, great. Now we can just think of Bill O'Reilly's dad's colon for the next 5 minutes.
John Stewart is awesome.
I hope his dad called and was like, Bill, thank you so much for the shout out today, you motherfucker.
By the way, I'm dead because you're 70.
It's like, thanks for telling everybody about my shitty asshole, bud.
Thanks a lot, Dad. I'm going to go call Ghostbusters because you're fucking dead. Dan Jones thinks I'm young enough to have a living father.
I could give a fuck about any Bill O'Reilly trivia.
Actually, you know what? Let's make sure he is dead.
Bill O'Reilly's dad?
Yeah. Bill Hold O'Reilly up. Dad. William James O'Reilly Sr.
Does he look just as much like a squeezed dick as his son?
They don't have a picture of him.
Died before cameras were invented.
They were from Brooklyn and fucking Teaneck, so already the deck was stacked against him.
Yeah, he died in 85.
Good. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. He raised a sociopath. And a rapist.
That's true.
It's going to be really interesting if Biden ends up being the general nominee, because then you're going to have, like, a guy with fucking cobweb hair going up against fucking piss-colored cotton candy hair.
Mm.
It's just going to be, like, you know, the war between the fucking hair club for men.
The Battle of Colostomy Bags. Coming eventually.
I can't wait till, like... Because, you know, these pieces of shit live forever. So I can't wait till, like, after Trump leaves office, he just has, like, a debilitating stroke. But because, like, he's a shitty businessman and probably has all of, like, $1,000 in, like, actual cash in the bank, like, he still has to, like, go on Fox News as, like, you know, special correspondent. And it's just like, and now we cut to our special correspondent, former President Donald Trump. And they cut to him, and he's just sitting there in his fucking Christopher Reeve chair with, like, drool just fucking spilling out of his gigantic cheek.
Yeah, he's just sitting there fucking just pissing himself.
Yeah. He probably is. Like, you've seen his ass. Like, that's, he could be wearing a diaper.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, boy. All right. So, any of you watch that fucking Netflix Bundy movie yet?
I absolutely have.
Dude, it's so fucking bad.
I have not even wanted to waste any time.
Dude, it sucks. It's just not a good movie. I mean, like, Zac Efron and Lily Collins are all right in it. Like, Zac Efron, like, out of all of the people that have played Bundy, I think he probably looks the most like him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not hard to play Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was just like, you know, we all fucking knew a guy that acted just like him. He was just like, you know, my dad owns a dealership. Like, that kind of fucking dude.
Uh-huh.
Just stuck up fucking conservative asshole that thinks he gets a lot of pussy. but it's actually just dead people. We all knew a bunch of corpse fuckers in high school. I'm honestly surprised, like, more of our friends haven't been arrested for doing shit like that, because, I mean, you know...
I would be mortified if I found out someone I hung out with did that shit.
I don't know. I mean, how many fucking people did we interview in Northport that all have one thing in common? Yeah, I went to high school with two separate guys that got arrested for grave robbing.
I mean, the 80s were a different time.
But yeah, no, that movie sucked, which is no surprise. Because, like, everyone's like, man, Joe Berlinger is doing it. Joe Berlinger made the fucking Paradise Lost documentary trilogy. And it's like, yeah, you know what else Joe Berlinger made? Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. So I wasn't really shocked that this movie sucked.
There wasn't even a Book of Shadows in that movie.
There wasn't. That movie actually isn't as bad as people, like, remember it.
I haven't even watched it.
What made that Ted Bundy movie so shitty?
The first thing I noticed was the editing was horrible. Like, it came off as, like, a very rushed movie. And, like, I should have known that was coming when I went to turn it on, and it was, like, it said it was, like, an hour and a half long, and I'm like, how the fuck are you gonna have an hour and a half long true crime movie? Like, you know, true crime movies are supposed to be suspenseful, and they're supposed to be, like, slow burns and all this stuff, and I was just like, fuck, the Ted Bundy story is like 20 years long. So it's just like, how the fuck are you gonna, all right, whatever. So I turn it on and like, yeah, the editing's all choppy and rushed and all this shit. And like, all I see are fucking eyebrows the whole movie. So I can't focus. Everyone looks like Martin Scorsese in a fucking Beetle wig. And did you see the fucking roast? It wasn't even a roast, actually. It was like some sort of honorary dinner.
The Friars Club.
No. I think it was like the AFI tribute to, the American Film Institute, not that shitty band, A Fire Inside. How funny would that be? Like, A Fire Inside is fucking,
hold
like...
Hold on a second.
Like, yeah.
What? Dan, aren't you a big AFI fan? Don't you have an AFI tattoo?
I do. I have the cover of All Hallows EP tattooed on my shoulder. That is accurate.
Oh, man.
I remember when you got that. You were like, this is so sick, dude. It's awesome.
I fucking love it. It's still one of my favorite tattoos.
Now I know what Liz Klepfer felt when she realized that fucking her boyfriend was a serial killer.
What, that you feel like Dan is a serial killer because he has AFI tattoo?
Yeah, it's a disturbing revelation about a person you thought you knew.
You've seen it!
Yeah, but he probably didn't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah, do I look like I listen to AFI?
He was like, that's a pretty cool tattoo with the pumpkin on it.
That's what that is!
Yeah.
I just thought Dan liked Halloween.
I mean, cool either way.
Less cool now. That's like getting like a fucking, oh, that's like getting a Crazy Town tattoo.
You know what? It would be better if they, yeah. If somebody gets like, you know, like, you know what I really like? I really like that, what was the, was it Nevermind, the album with the little kid? In the pool.
Dan gets a little kid's dick tattooed.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna get, I love that album, so I'm gonna get a little baby with this dick tattooed on me.
Yeah, but like, he got robbed that week, so he's just like, I'll just start with the dick.
Yeah, just put a baby dick on
me. And then I'll work my way out. It'll be really funny, but then Dan never gets a job ever again, so he's just walking around with a baby dick tattoo on him, and people are like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Baby dick, that's his name now.
Yeah, I remember Baby Dick Jones. He was the king of the blues ocarina.
God damn it.
What the fuck?
That whole thread shouldn't have made sense, but if you look at it linearly, it kind of does. I mean, we didn't jump through any major hoops to get to the next stage of jokes there.
Yep.
We went from Dan likes AFI to Dan has a baby dick tattoo on his arm that is Spencer, I forget his last name, from the fucking Nevermind cover.
Jesus.
Why do you have a baby dick tattooed on your fucking back? No, wait, listen, it was supposed to be a whole big piece of Nirvana's fucking album covers, and I couldn't afford it because I got robbed and the economy tanked. Why are you running from me?
Welcome to the Pick on Dan episode, everybody.
I'm not even picking on Dan. We're picking on, like, a fictional alternate universe version of Dan that got a baby dick tattooed on him. Real Dan probably wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe. I don't know. He does have an AFI tattoo, so all bets are off. Dude, this is fucking weird. Like, I have seen Dan without a shirt. So, like, I know he's not hiding, like, you know, 1920s, like, Navy barbell man.
He might.
Level of tattoos. And, but, like, it seems like every time we're on the show talking about cringy tattoos, Dan's like,
I have one of those.
Yeah, I have that.
He has a Nautical Star tattoo. I got one of those.
Nautical Star tattoo. He has an AFI tattoo. He has a Hunter S. Thompson tattoo, which isn't cringy yet, but it will be in the next 10 years because someone's going to dig up something on him.
Dude, what is there to dig up on Hunter S. Thompson that he hasn't already been like, oh, yeah, I did all of this?
There have been a couple things. His brother is gay, and his brother has, like, I can't remember if he straight out said it or if he just intimated it in a book, but basically the implication there is that when he came out to his brother, like, kind of cut off contact with him, like, which isn't real woke for, like, a left-leaning political commentator, like, to disown a member of your family for being gay. So, I don't know. Something will probably come out one of these days. I mean, he hung out with a bunch of naked women and guns, so it's only a matter of time before the fucking non-disclosure agreement expires.
I'll wait until after he's dead to do all of that.
I'm fucking dead now, so you can tell people.
Yeah. People don't know, though. They're just like, oh, he's not dead yet? I just thought nothing would ever kill him.
You kill yourself at 65? Like, come on, just wait a little longer.
Well, how much longer was he going to wait?
I don't know, man. Fucking people don't... He couldn't have lived that much longer with the way that that man took care of himself. And I actually heard that that's why he killed himself. He wasn't depressed. Like, supposedly he had broken his hip or something a few months beforehand, and he just could not take the fucking pain of it anymore.
Yeah, no, he was in failing health, so he wanted to go out on his own terms.
Yep. So how it's gonna end for us, boys. You know?
Like Old Yeller.
Harsh realization with a pistol in our hand in a Denny's bathroom.
I'm hoping Denny's isn't around by the time we do that, because, you know, they're on their way out.
No way. Denny's is like the wind. It's everywhere and always there. And
Jesus.
We're all one moons over my hammy away from our meeting with the Reaper. All right. But anyway, speaking of the Reaper, fucking this guy was the Grim Reaper incarnate. Shitty movie or not. Fucking Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy is back in the news, baby.
What, did he escape again?
Dude, it became such a fucking farce at that point, because I love, like, all these cops, like, now that he's, like, dead and shit, they all go on these documentaries and they're like, Ted Bundy wasn't some sort of criminal mastermind. And it's just like, no, of course he wasn't. You guys just sucked. Like,
you didn't, like, take him seriously and didn't pay attention to him because you're like, this is just some fucking white kid. And yeah, he nipped out on
you. Which he was, but everyone knows that, like, fucking white fucking conservative men are, like, the most dastardly motherfuckers on planet Earth. Like, they're an apex predator at this point. It's like the Tyrannosaurus, the Carcharodon Megalodon, and, like, a fucking white dude from King County. But, yeah, no, he, and it wasn't, like, when you read about that shit later on, like, after the fact, like, we all did, because we, you know, I think when the escapes happened, we weren't even born yet. They executed him when we were, like...
They happened in, like, the 80s.
Either that or, like, 79, 78, something like that, but, and they executed him when we were a year old. But, you read about that shit, and you're like, man, he must have done some cool Hannibal Lecter shit, like, took a pen apart and used it as a fucking key to remove his handcuffs. They didn't even fucking cuff him! They let him go into the fucking law library of the courthouse because he was representing himself, and he jumped out a window.
They didn't even have a proxy. They didn't have a guard for him.
He was, but in the movie they show the guard was just off macking on some chick, which I don't know if that's true or not, but either way they fucking let him go. And then another time he broke out, he killed three more fucking people, so I mean that isn't as funny.
I thought he broke out three times.
I know there were at least two.
He broke out in Florida and killed those, the Kai Omega girls. And then
Kai Omega girls and Kimberly Leach.
There was the time he broke out and did, I think he showed up at, what's her name's house?
Who? His girlfriend Liz?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he, he was gonna.
They said they was gonna do that, but he never did.
They thought he was going to, but yeah, he didn't show up. He did everything else that was fucking retarded. The first car he fucking steals when he breaks out is the same car he fucking drove in real life.
Which, you know, honestly, I think that's something that everybody downplays, but, like, no one talks about it, that the reason why he drove the shit that he did and he wore the clothes he wore and all that stuff was because he was stealing somebody else's identity. Oh, what was it? It was someone he knew before he met Liz and
all
that
other
stuff.
It was a law professor.
Yeah, and he said because I wanted to go to law school, and he became friendly with the guy, and then he was like, oh, that's a cool car, you know. The guy's like, oh, yeah, I just got it. It's a Yellow Beetle, blah 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 blah. So next thing you know, fucking Ted has a Yellow Beetle, and then he sees him wearing a pair of like jeans, and he's like, oh, those are really nice jeans. Where'd you get them? And then he was like, okay. And then the next thing you knew, here's Ted wearing the same jeans and shirt as you, driving the same car as you, and he's like, this is fucking creepy.
Well, yeah, no, because he was a sociopath. He didn't have any real identity of his own, so he just sort of was a chameleon and leached off of other people. And, but yeah, so we're in the middle of Bundy fever, and which is much scarier than Boogie fever. But, yeah, so everyone's talking Bundy again, even the paranormal world. So we're going to talk about we're gonna talk about Bundy's ghost, y'all, because apparently he's been fucking running around doing shit. And let's see. So one of the first things I found, this is the earliest one that I could find. This is going back to 2012. This is an article from Psychology Today, and the article is titled "Ted Bundy's Ghost: The Infamous Serial Killer Appears to Be Quite Mobile in the Afterlife." And what it talks about here is in 2001, a guard from the Florida State Prison where Bundy spent his final days told a reporter that shortly after Bundy was put to death, several guards saw his ghost sitting casually on the electric chair. The guard described Bundy's expression as a, quote, knowing smile, as if he knew something important about the afterlife that they didn't. If a guard tried to approach him, he would disappear.
Ooh.
And that's cool.
That's pretty spoopy.
Just show up on fucking old Sparky again. It's like, remember me? I'm dead now. But it says the man telling the story said that there were so many sightings at one point that the warden couldn't find anyone willing to enter the execution chamber alone. And probably because they were like fucking pranking each other, just like, hey, sit there for a second and then strap them down. Oh, fried another one.
No, it's fine. They've killed thousands of other people in there, but this one likes to hang out because he was kind of well known.
He's waiting to see if they're bringing in any of the ladies.
Well, first off, it's Florida, so most likely every other person they fried was probably mentally disabled or innocent. And second off, I mean, the arrogance of Bundy, I would buy it, that he would be that fucking petty, even in the afterlife, that he would just stay there fucking with people. But it says Bundy also showed up around his holding cell on death row. To some guards, he would say, well, I beat all of you, didn't I? Presumably, he meant he'd beaten them to the other side. Yeah, an electric chair will do that.
But that's like saying, I lost the race, you know? Like, because isn't the goal to not die, like, young?
I don't know, maybe he knows something we don't. Maybe we get pretty sweet shit on the other side. Like, Game Boy Advance, universal healthcare. Doritos 3D.
Oh, Doritos 3D. Sign me up right now. Hold on a second. I'm going to get a rope.
Is Crystal Pepsi still around? Didn't it come back?
It did come back, and it is awesome.
Crystal Pepsi came back last year, and I got a bottle of that shit. And I remember a couple people looking at me real fucking weird because they thought I was drinking like 40-year-old expired soda. And I was like, no, it's a throwback. Yeah, why the fuck? You know, we can get Crystal Pepsi in Ohio, but we can't get Cheerwine. Which is weird because Cheerwine, you'd think, would be like an Ohio thing, but they got Big Red out here instead.
Dude, Big Red sucks.
Big Red fucking tastes like someone melted a bunch of cherry Jolly Ranchers and put that shit in an old bottle.
To me, it reminded me of bubblegum. Like, bubblegum and cinnamon and shit. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I had friends that would have, like, 12 packs of that in their fridge and just drink Big Red all day.
Is that, like, the redneck version of the Code Red kid that we had up in Jersey? Because, yo, bagels, we all knew, like, growing up in Jersey, we all knew, like, a kid just like Dan was talking about, but instead of Big Red, it was Code Red.
Dude, I was that kid. I drank Code Red all the fucking time. Before that, just dating ourselves a little bit more, is back when Surge was around.
Dude, Surge fucking ruled.
Surge was the shit. Surge for me meant that I was at Little Caesars inside of the Kmart.
God damn, Kmart, man.
So when my mom would go shopping at Kmart, instead of having to deal with my rotten little ass, she'd be like, here's fucking $5. Go get yourself one of those pizza and and a chocolate chip cookie combo.
It's like $19.95. Like $5 gets you like 2 whole pies and a gallon of fucking Surge.
Well, no, I was expected to give her change back.
Well, that was her first fucking mistake. Everyone talks about, like, man, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and kill Hitler, or no, I want to go see some dinosaurs. And for me, it's just like, I want to be in a Kmart again, just for like a few minutes.
No, it's okay. I've been in a Walmart. That's the same thing as a Kmart, except worse.
No, it isn't. It's a tier below it, but,
It's what? Walmart is a tier below Kmart?
No, Kmart was a tier below Walmart.
It goes like Dollar Store, Dollar General, Kmart, yeah. Walmart.
It's Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar General, and then there's the weird tier in the center, which I think, honestly, like, yeah, if you had to put on a chart or something, they would be mid-tier, but I liked them better. You fucking remember Bradley's bagels?
Dude, Bradley's, I think Bradley's was a Northeast thing.
Yeah, Bradley's had the best.
I think it went out of business.
Yeah, Bradley's has been gone for fucking ever, dude. But Bradley's had the fucking best toy section. Like, I got all of my Kenner Star Wars toys from Bradley. I got all my Jurassic Park shit from Bradley. All my Batman figures. Like, they had the best. I remember going to Bradley's for toys more than going to Toys R Us when I was a kid.
Dude, Bradley's, and I don't know if you remember this, James Way?
I don't remember James Way, but do you remember Caldor?
Take me away.
No, it's Calgon. Caldor was kind of like a Kmart, kind of like Kmart, but it had like a real like BJ Sporting Goods kind of vibe.
No, I don't remember that. I'm looking them up right now.
Yeah, dude, Caldor was like the vapor wave of 90s department stores.
Yeah, James Way ceased operations in 95, Caldor in 99. And
wow, Caldor hung in there that long.
Yeah, and Bradley's closed its last store in 2001.
Good for them. You know, they held out the longest. They were the best. Bradley's was right across the street from Marshall's in Scotch Plains. Or was it Scotch Plains? I don't know, but there was a. I know Clark had a Bradley's. My mom worked there in the restaurant when she was a kid, but the one that I usually went to was the one, Avenel. Avenel had one across the street from the Marshalls. But yeah, they had all the good shit there.
Dude, Katie, this is a total side note, but Katie was like, she asked me all the time. She's like, what's the name of your podcast again? What's the name of your podcast again? she can't remember 1289, but she's like, work.
No, she remembers. She's just making fun of you. She's just reminding you that we've gone nowhere. I'm sorry, what's the name of your podcast again?
No one remembers that. I'm not important.
The Joe Rogan Experience. Yeah,
the Josh Hogan Experience.
Epidemic.
So she's like, oh yeah, I recommended it to like 3 or 4 people at work today. I was like, you might lose that job soon.
That's the problem with our show. Like, you have to know a very special type of dirtbag to go, you know what? They'd like 1289. Anyway, let's hear. However, his spirit apparently travels. It's reportedly been seen around the Chi Omega sorority house where he committed the murders that earned him 2 of his death sentences.
Yeah, I would be there.
In addition, he's been spotted on the porch of the building in Tallahassee where he'd rented a room under a false name.
Someone just read his Wikipedia page and decided to add a ghost to it.
Like, the first time he broke out, he did it the right way. He went Breaking Bad, and he fled into the mountains and lived in an abandoned shack.
Yeah, but how long was it before they caught him? It was like...
Like 6 days.
Yeah.
That first time. But then when he was on the run in Florida, he was gone for like, I think it was like 5 weeks. And, but yeah, like, you don't go to a fucking, like, a rooming house, and even with a fake name, hi, I'm a Bed Tundy. And it's just like, yeah, no, you're Ted Bundy.
No, I'm not. I'm Teb.
I'm Teb Dundy. Teb?
Teb, it's a name. Look it up.
I need a room.
Give me the goddamn room.
It's like Jeb, but with a T.
Jeb.
I need a room.
You see, I'm on the run from the police right now. Because his dumbass would brag about it.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually on the run from the law.
That's like, he goes over at a party and everyone's like, what do you do? Well, I'm actually a serial killer. Ha ha ha.
A few mediums claim to have channeled him, and one told me that Bundy's interested in redeeming himself by assisting her to solve the murders. Yeah, okay. There's yet to be a police report that he's offered such help, but that would be quite a story. Yeah, I know Psychology Today. It says here, there have been paranormal incidents in Washington State. Last year, the Puget Sound Trail, the student paper of the University of Puget Sound, reported that Bundy shows up there where he'd once attended classes. In what sounds more like a hoax in poor taste. Yeah, because the fucking psychic saying Ted Bundy's dead ass wants to help me solve the murders isn't in poor taste. Or a hoax. The feature states that students call him Teddy the Friendly Ghost, as well as Best Dead Friend Forever, and in parentheses it's BDFF, and supposedly he accompanies them on late night walks. Like, could you imagine that? Like,
you're best friends with Ted Bundy's ghost.
Oh yeah, this is my best friend Ted.
He sits there and tries to, like, convince him to do murders, like, Ted, I'm not fucking doing it. Shut the fuck up.
Come on, it'll be really fun. It'll be really... I've been so lonely.
He's like, please, I need this.
By Ouija board, the article continues, Bundy resisted their pet names. He also spelled out several spooky messages. And it says,
wait, they tried to talk to him through a Ouija board? I guess. Weird, this game board doesn't work.
Yeah, it says, the spooky messages were, I cannot touch them. So many to kill and I cannot touch them. It is my hell. Oh my God. The author quotes Bundy via the board as making plans to join infamous serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. That's where the big time killing is, the board supposedly said.
It's a super group of fucking, it's the Asia of serial killers.
They made a fucking movie like that. Was it Dahmer versus Gacy? I'm not joking. I swear to God, there is like a low budget horror movie out there.
Tell me that's not true.
Yeah, he also killed all those people. We always got to remind people of that. It's just like, yeah, it's funny, but like people are dead because of him.
Yeah.
The guard stories are intriguing because reportedly Bundy was quite overcome when led to his execution. One witness described his faltering steps and look of desperation. Why then would he show up in a place that had so disturbed him? To show the guards that he'd won after all? I doubt that they'd agree. Bundy's remains were cremated and, at his request, scattered in the mountainous wilderness in Washington State. If his ghost is anywhere, it's probably there, where he'd often sit and gloat over decomposing bodies. So, yeah. And then this other article that I found comes from The Independent. This is a fucking newspaper from Ireland, yep. So slow news day. They didn't blow up a storefront in Britain today, I guess. It says, serial killer Ted Bundy's childhood home is haunted by ghosts, laborers claim. And this article is from May of 2017, and it says, notorious serial killer Ted Bundy's childhood home is haunted by evil spirits, a contractor has claimed. Casey Clopton, who was brother of Eric Clapton, said...
Eric, keep Britain white, Clapton.
Eric Clapton sounds like Eric Clapton melting.
Hey, I'm Eric Clapton. Layla. I've got no fucking knees, Layla. They're fucking melted like cheese, Layla. Would you know me if I melted?
Bring home the very best of Eric Clapton.
Clapton.
And in parentheses, Eric Clapton melting. We suck. Patreon.com/1289, podcast
1289. I once saw something that said, what does Eric Clapton and coffee have in common? And it's the punchline is, they both suck without cream.
Damn.
Fuck Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton sucks. Eric Clapton looks like a fucking accountant.
He really shreds in the evenings.
I went and I saw him with my father-in-law at Madison Square Garden, and I was so excited to go and see him, and it ended up being that it was him and Jimmy Vaughn.
Ah, yes, Jimmy Vaughn, the James Belushi of the blues world.
But Dude, the most exciting thing about that concert was watching Gary Clark Jr. open for him.
Dude, yeah. Gary Clark Jr. fucking rules. The coolest thing, when I saw Tom Petty, the coolest thing about that, and I've seen him twice. The first time was pretty good. The second time was all right. But the best part of that second time was Buddy Guy opened for him, and Buddy Guy was fucking furious with the audience. Because he was playing, like, instead of playing his hits, he was promoting a new album he had out. And of course, no one fucking listens to new albums by old blues players. And he was pissed that no one was singing along. Like, I remember one song ended. He walked up to the microphone and he was like, I sang that fucking song in Tokyo last week and them motherfuckers knew all the words.
That's because Japanese people actually do that. They're like, we're going to see a new band. We need to know all the lyrics.
Japanese people fucking take their love of music seriously. Yep. But yeah, fucking Eric Clapton looks like he should be doing Buddy Guy's taxes. Fucking nerd. It says here, Casey Clapton said he didn't realize that Bundy, who confessed to killing 30 women, once lived in the Washington property that he was tasked with remodeling. He told the News Tribune that things became so spooky at the four-bedroom house that Clapton's daughter, who's 11, soon refused to go near it. He said, my daughter started crying. She said she felt weird and she didn't like it there. Clapton added that workers had an eerie feeling and unexplained things would happen, such as phones suddenly dying, cupboard doors opening, and he even claims he spotted the words, help me, written in a dusty message on a window. He said, I'm not one to believe a lot of this stuff, but this house made me a believer. So yeah, Ted Bundy's fucking with day laborers in Washington State, apparently.
Sounds like Ted.
I mean, he does sound like a classist piece of shit.
Yeah, he's pretty much doing what New Jersey teenagers do at the 612.
Jesus.
612 still there?
Yes, it is.
God damn. Some things never change. And then finally, in probably the most cringeworthy article about this whole spectral Bundy phenomenon, this is the newest one. This is from Vanity Fair. And this was from last week. This is May 3rd, 2019. And it says, Lily Collins, who plays Ted Bundy's girlfriend Liz in the new Netflix movie. Lily Collins says, ghosts of Ted Bundy's victims visited her while making Extremely Wicked, which is the shortened version of the movie's title. What the fuck is it? Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Yep.
Is that it?
Some shit. Who cares?
Something, something, Dark Side, whatever. And the quote under the byline is, I discovered that 3 a.m. is the time when the veil between the realms is the thinnest and one could be visited, which everyone fucking knows. It's like, bruh, that's fucking occultism 101. And it says here, in Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, Lily Collins plays Liz Kendall, real name Elizabeth Klepfer, which, you know, thanks for blowing up her spot, the longtime girlfriend of vicious serial killer Ted Bundy. The film is not a Bundy biopic, but rather an examination that tells the story of Bundy's crimes through Kendall's point of view. In an interview with The Guardian, Collins revealed that the project got so heavy that she started waking up at 3:05 a.m. every night during pre-production. After doing some research, she came to believe that her wake-up calls were the results of the ghosts of Bundy's many victims visiting her at night and trying to make contact. She says, quote, I started being woken up by flashes of images, like the aftermath of a struggle, she said. I discovered that 3 a.m. is the time when the veil between the realms is the thinnest and one can be visited. That's when she came to believe the detail about ghosts. However, the actress added, it was less of a haunting and more of a heartening interaction. Quote, I didn't feel scared. I felt supported, she told The Guardian. I felt like people were saying, we're here listening, we're here to support, thank you for telling the story. Which is like, all right, listen.
Stop being nice to ghosts. Tell them to fuck off.
Even if you believe this shit, all right, who thinks it's a good idea to tell a national fucking magazine, like, yeah, all these real women that were killed by this guy in this movie I'm making money off of, they visited me beyond the realm of death to tell me, we got you, girl. You got this. Like, douche chills.
I gotta say that almost everything related to this subject is douchey.
Yeah, no, Ted Bundy's just, yeah, he's just a douche.
But why add to the sliminess?
Because
people
easy.
Like that.
This is like...
It's low-hanging fruit.
I don't know why you're questioning it, because we do this every fucking weekend.
We're podcast comedians! We went to special school.
So?
She's a fucking millionaire model actress.
And she's just as dumb as the rest of the girls that we went to high school with.
I guess. I don't know. It's like, you know, you got people out there saying, like, you know, we need to be respectful about the victims. And, like, the end of the film fucking, like, dedicates the film to the victims and, like, lists all their names and shit. And, like, everyone that's given this movie nice reviews is saying, like, it doesn't depict the brutal murders. It doesn't turn into exploitation. But it's like, yeah, but no, the star of the movie is running around out there saying, yeah, these dead girls are all talking to me and they support the movie. Like, that's fucking crazy talk. And I believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
No, it's just people fucking looking for their minute, you know? That's all.
She's famous. She's got her minute. She is arguably the most talked about actress in America right now. Everyone's talking about this movie. I don't know. It's just, it's like we contacted a slave ghost probably on Homecoming, but we didn't put like a quote of endorsement from her on the DVD cover.
We should have.
You should buy this. All the slaves would have liked.
If I was still alive and not a slave, I would rent this movie at Blockbuster Video. The slave Mike contacted at Merchants and Drovers.
Ambo.
Shout out to Ambo. That was a fucking... That was an intense fucking part of that investigation. Like, I remember sitting in that room and I was just like... And like, the answers Mike was getting and shit during that Spirit Box session, I was like, this is fucking wild.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, no. That's fucking dumb.
It's like, well, I'm just gonna keep riding this corpse, you know?
Yeah.
Just gotta stay relevant to the bad movie that I'm not watching.
Yeah, that's it. We should rent Dahmer versus Gacy. It's got 2.5 out of 10 on fucking IMDb.
Dude, that's great.
Is there anyone we have ever fucking heard of in this movie? Let's check. Someone named Ford Austin plays Jeffrey Dahmer.
Tight.
His IMDb page is him dressed up as a unicorn. I'm not fucking joking. Here.
That's what he identifies as.
I don't know, man.
Oh my God, that guy?
You know him?
I've seen that picture before.
He played Hitler in a movie called Scorpion Girl. Oh my God. What the fuck? I don't know what to make of this guy's career.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. There's like a whole bunch of bodies in my crawl space. Harland Williams is in it and he plays God.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have to see this.
We gotta get this fucking movie. Oh my God, we should just do a commentary track of this. We should just MST3K this. Oh shit, Felisa Rose is in it. She played What's-Her-Face in the Sleepaway Camp. You know?
Yeah.
The girl with the ding-dong.
Yeah. It's an hour and it's 90 minutes.
That's perfect.
I wasn't expecting it to be that long, to be honest. I was fully expecting 55 minutes. And 10 of it is credit sequence.